Sustain what exactly?
For forbidding ward, which gives him a plus one stat bonus to his AC, or sorry, status, and saving throws.
Well, that sounds very shiny and happy, and no,
it was.
It is.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have to sustain it, which I don't need to because it's a cantrip, so I can just keep casting it over me.
Yeah. And is there's a downside?
Nope.
Constantly.
No. Yes. Yes.
No. Nope. Oh, it's a two action spell. So.
Cool. Very cool. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pratter and the Chatter of us starting a conversation, talking about last week's game, figuring out what to do with another night of Frank Hamilton. Well, I'll tell you what, I am not putting Theoan Deathbringer, Axe Swinger, Rainbow Butt Monkey Slayer on autopilot again. You can leave him at the door. You guys have done it with three dwarves before, so two dwarves and a half-drunk human will just have to do this time again. Welcome to another exciting episode of Dicewise Entertainment Presents Age of Ashes, the Elven Portal podcast. In the house with me tonight, we have our lead singer, sorcerer, playing the dwarf, Albert Stonechucker. Mr. Matt Witt is in the house.
Hello, everybody.
We have the man whose head is literally stuck to his chin because, like, the Velcro effect of the beard sticking to the chest hair, playing the dwarven cousin monk, Miros Anvilbender. Mr. Ryan Messina is in the house.
Hey, everybody.
And last, certainly not least, our resident rules lawyer, the guy with the goblin that keeps falling down, keeps getting up. But tonight we're focusing on a human cleric of Party Time, Good Times, Caden Kalilian.
Close enough.
Joe Gibson is in the house tonight.
Hello, hello.
And so.
Dramatic pause.
Dramatic pause to make sure everything is up and running. Welcome to Fantasy Ground sponsored Age of Ashes. Dicewise presents the Age of Ash campaign for Pathfinder 2nd edition. Doubling down in audio is the Elven Portal podcast. I am GM Jeff Ball, your host, and welcome to the live stream. If you are listening to this via some sort of podcast, we're going to have to throw you off a cliff and hope someone's imagination helicopter turns sideways and catches you halfway down and props you up. Now, I'm not saying that the show is strictly video, that you need video. There's nothing wrong with one's imagination, but we are everywhere where you can find a podcast. We are recording live to YouTube, to Twitch here at twitch.tv/GMsCut. You can also find us over at Twitch TV at Dark Galaxies Gaming, as well as our Twitter account at Rollmonger, several places. But if you want to talk to us live, come on over to Dark Galaxies. Come on over to our own GM's Cut on Twitch TV and schmooze. Some of the cast are in one lobby, some are in the other, and are happy to answer your questions and listen to you heckle me and snicker while I try to run tech on top of a game. So, last time here in the wonderful world of the interwebs, we had a fight going down, which means I need to bring up a map and we need to bring up minis. And I believe Ryan had questions for myself and Joe about leaping how many feet in the air by crit failing a one? That does not sound possible. That doesn't sound possible.
No, not in the air. We're talking about a horizontal. I can roll a one and get 11 feet.
Oh, you mean the long jump.
Correct.
Ah, but a natural 20 is always bumped to a crit. So is a natural one always bumped to a critical fail?
Don't you have to fail by 10?
Not if it's a natural one.
Yeah, right. Welcome to the new rules.
One is still a fail.
Okay.
Welcome to
so
the new
rules. So if I roll a two, then?
Yes, if you rolled a two and you still succeeded your DC, then okay, you are good.
So my minimum length jump would be 12 feet.
On a two, yes.
Yes.
Which that's all right.
Which is gross.
Yeah.
And you're only level two, just wait till you get higher.
Yeah. And I have a base gain of 10 on my horizontal.
Or vertical.
Yeah, thank you. The other horizontal.
Well,
10 feet up, 15 yeah, feet forward.
Well, depending on what I get, but yes, as from
basically,
yeah, I took 2 feet that involved jumping and falling.
Sweet,
and if you
that's
also
cool,
if you do your running jump, then you can get rid
yeah,
for a little dwarf,
right? No one's going to expect that, and then the dwarf comes flying through the air, like it said, no one ever.
Doing the 500 pounds of Black Panther Guinevere, you know, womp type of thing. Actually, that is a good question. Can I have your heights and weights? A little refreshing for ourselves in the audience, for our two dwarves and a human. How big is our human? Let's start with Joe.
Sure, make me look at my character sheet.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait, we were actually going to fill these things out?
Yeah.
I'm actually 6 foot tall, 180 pounds. That's it.
I am 4 feet tall, 100 pounds. Quite a slim dwarf.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're just a wee, wee laddie. No one of the others push you around.
Oh, here we are. Yeah. I would imagine Murrow's be big and bulky. So if you're 4 foot, he'd probably be like almost 5'4", 5'5", around that point. Big.
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 Big like mama.
You know, if you're, you know, minus the hair, but.
Yeah, yeah, no, no. Now,
he's like a
little mini Dolph Lundgren.
Hey, that's not an entirely bad analogy to bring on to. You know, if Dolph, you just chop him down by half, yeah. Took him out of the knees.
Like Rocky era.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Still take him down at the knees, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that man is crazy big. So, yeah. So I'd say 5'5 and 220 pounds. Mm. Yeah.
He's a beast.
He's big.
He's the beast. That's crazy.
Is that dry weight or wet weight?
It's always wet. He's always drinking.
What?
Well, he's covered in hair.
Yeah. Yeah, there would be a dragon.
Screaming just off.
It's to help with the aerodynamics when you're flying through the air.
Yeah, his hair whips out like flying squirrels.
I thought it would be like the armpit hair that just, you know, kind of rides up from the hips and he just fans out, you know, like those.
How Spider-Man's suit has like those little webs?
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing.
Oh, my God. But just blah.
But we're underground right now, gentlemen, and it's time to cue the battle music and get ourselves going here.
Oh yeah, we were fighting.
They were fighting things. That's right.
Oh, I don't remember.
So are you going to play Theon? Gotta finish this combat.
He runs away.
I will. You know. Well, I think Frank's predictable enough that you just point him and he goes.
Yep.
Yeah. But after that, you know, it was just kind of shameful that the guy that didn't show up, controlled by the DM, spamming awesome rolls, just kind of, you know, I've had a few complaints. So in the past, 3 dwarves did without a cleric, and now our first level cleric is lagging in XP, you know, so I'm pretty sure it's not beyond my reasoning to ask you guys that, you know, I'll have Theon cover your backs. He'll watch the door. He'll guard, you know, he'll craft something. But right now, in the heat of it all, we had Albrecht Stonechucker, I believe, just went, was just throwing missiles around. Like, didn't you just finish? And we're like, pretty sure. Yep. And it's like, and we'll see you all next time.
Yes, I believe that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, round one.
Yeah, no kidding. So here we are at round two. And we're starting with Theon, right? So I'm pretty sure he's just going to glide right in towards the Finger 11 member. It's a nicer way of saying Rainbow Butt Monkey.
named Rainbow Butt Monkey.
Yeah, the polite way of going to town on this guy. Sliding in. And he has a rich weapon, a whip, which provokes attack of opportunity, as it were. But unfortunately, as far as I can tell, unless this thing has the reaction to actually do that, you know, I'm not a fighter. Now, is this a default thing for monsters, Joe? Can, like, any monster just, like, oh, well, you know, I'm a monster.
It will be in the monster description.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it here, so. Guess what? He's doing what he can. But, I'm looking
at Indiana Jones.
Nope.
He thinks, I really want to stop him from approaching me. Only a multiclassed.
Oh, well. Next time.
Next life.
Yeah, next life, yeah. Next time. Sorry, Charlie. So, I'm going to try something here, okay? He comes at him with the axe, and I'm going to pick up the dice and, like, give it a 1, 2, 3 around the board and give it a big wing instead of this double fast-click shenanigans, which seems to net me a whole bunch of 20s and 1s. Now, as before, I've been in contact with those that make things going here, and they assure me that the dice mechanic is solid. So I threw the dice, but nothing happened. I guess I gotta drop it. Like,
did you throw it in the tray?
Well, oh, there we go. Over the tree is good enough. Comes at him, whips towards the
Land Picker.
Well, I tried to disarm Frank, remember? And I got the axe off of him. So instead of retrieving the axe, he moves forward as an action, pulls the dagger as an action, because I don't think I have quick draw, and stabby stabby with my wonderful clan dagger. And I miss. I guess axe is my default awesome, and everything else is just going to have to wait. Next up, we have the Bugheart, and then Eris, the mighty warg pup familiar, and then Miros. So I guess we could say Miros is on deck. This bullfrog-headed creature, which, again, is very tribal-looking, has a frog-like head, has, I wouldn't say it's like patched together armor, but has a very, let me just show you guys this again, you know, has a very beyond barbarian Conan, you know, look. Not exactly high society. Has, you know, weapons made out of basic woods and bones, that kind of thing. Just really sort of offsetting for the area that we're in. Like, you know, this monster somehow just doesn't belong here. One might
think. Super cool looking, though.
Yep. Anyway. But he's...
Is that a playable race?
The Bugheart?
Every race is playable, Matt.
You'd have to look it up in the bestiary, which I have not released to you at this time. Now, when Ryan said, you know, our backup character should come from the area, I think he was thinking like the pack of goblin disciples, not like, you know, oh, we spared this Bugheart's life. I will serve you, master. You just like that croak power. You know? Matt just wants to like scream metal and make it his croak, right?
Yeah. Screamo.
Yeah. Make one a bard.
That's exactly where I think you're going with that.
That's pretty cool. So, closest opponent and taking missiles, I'm going to take a 5-foot stride to sort of put the monk between me and the rest of you, especially that sorcerer that's pelting me. Do you have any kind of movement attack of opportunity, Mr. Monk? I don't think you do. I'm hoping you don't.
Not to your awareness.
Okay. Which leaves me with my club. A 1 and a 2 and a miss and a hit with a 24. But your AC is high enough to actually, that is not critical. But enough that
plus
you're
going to... Plus 10 on both.
This thing is damn right solid. Damage a D6, 1 and 6 is 7. Miros Andovender takes a swing and easily does the Matrix, you know, and it just swipes across the top of your beard and chest hair. You know, the chest hair wafting towards it and almost grabbing it. And then he just kind of leans in with his shoulder and, you know, fakes you one as you go to block and then just brings the club back from momentum around and just nails you in the ribs with it for 7 points of damage. And now Miros, it is your turn, and Finger 11 is on deck, followed by Niles. Miros, what do you do?
I gotta turn the favors. What I'm going to do? Give him a flurry of beatings. His next eggs will feel.
Go to town.
Keep 14.
14?
Miss. Second attack. Ha! Ooh, 26. Hit.
All right.
Damn dams.
Yep.
10 points of damage.
Ouch. But I'm still here, and he's just looking madder and madder.
Is that all you got?
Second attack.
What?
What?
13. Miss.
Oh my god, I sound like the frog lady from Ice Pirates.
Ribbit. Exactly.
All right. Go to all town.
Right. And my last, I'm going to give another attack. 15.
That's a miss.
That is.
Valiant effort, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
Next.
Small humanoid number 9. Yeah. We all have names. Can't wait to pull cards and have cards pulled against us. With my whip and sickle, I think he's pretty much inside. No, I believe a whip is a reach weapon, but old school whip, you attacked at 15 feet, 10 feet, but you can attack at 5 feet. I'm not sure if I could whip this guy so close, so something to think about for later. But for right now, just to mix things up, I think he's going to go to town at you with this nasty-looking sickle. So he's got Theoin in his sights, and one screaming warrior to another, you know, not using their largest weapon. He goes to a small blade, Theoin, and I reciprocate with my small sickle blade and, you know, try to take his head off. and just opens a nasty gash all the way up Theoan's arm. The big slash to Theoan of 7 points of damage, and he just goes to town. And that's the opening. That's for openers. Finally drawing blood, he shrieks in pleasure and goes into a salivating, I mean like straight up foaming in the mouth, frenzy. This creature's reflexes seem to heighten. And although it burned an action to go into this frenzy, this momentary pause, he does attack Frank twice more. A single hit at 23 and a second hit at 17, and just starts slashing the crap out of Theoan. 5 points of damage and 6 points of damage, completely making up for last game and fallen comrades, if I do say so myself. Niles, you are up, sir. Albrick, you're on deck.
So I finally hear Theoan scream in pain.
No. Grunt and determination. Yeah. He's a dwarf. You get grunt and determination, and he's really setting that thing up. But considering he's directly behind you in 10 feet, and being the healer, you must be wary, you know. I'd have to say the two in front of you, and being leery of only having one guy covering your back, and you hear this thing screech, that's enough to forgive you the glance of the shoulder. I'll give you that one. You're okay. I don't think they actually talk about facing. Like, I understand there's like the perception check you're trying to avoid there with the one chevron going, oh, crap, I have to see, right? But there's enough draw of attention from the back quarter. I'll give it to you. So what you okay. thinking there, Niles?
I think I'm going to use some healing on some of my comrades.
Okay. And how so?
How so? By casting healing. Two actions, verbal and somatic.
Okay.
So it has a range of 30 feet. So.
Oh, everybody gets love? We're in 30 feet of you.
No. I'm not doing a burst because that's all living things. That would be bad.
But how are you going to reach everybody in 30 feet if it's not a burst?
No. I'm using a reach spell.
Ah.
Without moving. Making sense now?
Yeah, no, that's fine. And does that take a feat for you to enact that? I believe that was one of the cleric feats or traits.
That is the healing spell. Right, because it's a 1-3 action.
Mm-hmm.
First action is touch. Second action is verbal and somatic. Has a range of 30 feet. And the third is a burst. Three actions is a burst. I don't want to do the burst.
Okay.
It's all living creatures.
Okay. So
instead of moving, yeah, I just
want to give some more. We talked about this before. Is your holy symbol actually like embossed on the metal flask?
Sure.
No, I can't remember.
I can't remember.
Oh, okay. So many character near death. So okay.
Yeah.
Around your neck on a chain, or you just pull it from your pocket, and it's got the big embossed symbol on it. And you flip it up and pass it around, and the holiness comes out.
Read on my feet just to make sure that.
Okay. So
it does get extra. It's either D8 or D10.
Drawing deep into focus, and Niles is his actions are decided as it were. Albrick, can you talk about what you'd like to do? We'll set you up here on deck.
I am going to channel my ancestors' bloodlines, drawing deeply into my body the essence of a dragon.
Okay.
Casting dragon's claws. I grow gnarly claws, scales that make me resistant to fire, and my hands glow with a fiery aura. And then I'll move forward.
Stepping towards the dorm couch that's all shredded, I just love this couch they got on the map. It just looks like a couch that's seen too many college days. And he was sitting on the end of it, and he's like, oh, gets up, and wants to kick you out of the whatever room this is supposed to be,
Rat room.
Yeah. So. So back to Niles. Well, he's before he actually sort of jump in front of him there.
Yeah, sorry. It's so for Theoan, it's a D8. So he gets a big whopping 2.
You know what? I'm pretty sure he'll take it.
Yeah. And that's 2 actions. And my last action is casting heal again. This time touching Muros.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Power of hey, have 4.
Can I have that again, Muros? I was really expecting a different reaction there.
Oh, my.
Okay. So giving right here, giving... 4 points back to Muros, giving 2 points back to Theo, and done and done. And Niles, are you done, sir?
Yep, that's 3 of my actions.
Okay.
I'm done.
Albert Stonechucker, Niles Albright. We can hear you passing the flask on the microphone, and I wish you'd stop it. Elbrick, what do you got?
So, like I said, drawing on the power of my ancestors, I cast Dragon's Claws.
Okay.
They grow forth, and I move forward and attack.
Now, this is an actual sorcerer spell. It's not like a sorcerer ability or focus or...
It's my bloodline ability.
Okay, that's cool.
So it counts as a focus spell.
Hmm. Cool. Well, learning Pathfinder 2nd Edition, just to clarify. You know, I'm not trying to take you out of the moment, sorry. Claw away.
Can I not? Thank you.
Okay. Now, between this couch and Miros...
23 hit!
I'm gonna have him maintain the plus one AC cover. I'm sure your hit did hit, but I am going to give him the sort of... plus one cover from that. Not that it did him any good.
So that is a D4 slashing.
Okay.
For two. And then a D6 of fire damage.
Oh, come again?
And I don't quite know how to work that one in.
Oh, you could just raw roll D6 and I'll manually look after it. So how do your
four points.
How do your claws cause fire?
So it says, vicious claws grow from your fingers. They are finesse unarmed attacks that deal 1d4 slashing damage and 1d6 extra damage of a type determined by the dragon in your bloodline. Oh, sorry, not fire, ice damage.
Yeah, I was going to say, aren't you the cold guy?
It's so cold it burns.
Yeah,
that's ice damage,
he's
yes.
The refrigerator. We brought him down the mountain to chill the beer, and now he's like, oh.
That's right. Sorry.
You could be the Bunsen burner. I'm just saying, I want to clarify what's
nope,
going
nope.
on.
Here. Yeah. I am the ice. It is ice.
Okay.
It totally is.
Okay. Well, thank God, because I'm totally immune to cold. No. Damn it. Fine. The claws ripping into the rubbery, froggy flesh, and you see his eyes go wide in anger, like he's not done yet from another wound. And then the cold, the frost line. You ever see a window frost up from one side to the other? The wound freezes his blood, and just this dark black-blue patch covers his chest, reaching his heart. And the creature, wide-eyed, just falls to his knees in front of the two cousins, dead.
Hoo-ah!
Hey, see you
cool
there.
Mental image.
Thank you.
Alvar, you do much better than holding a weapon. See, you gotta use your hands more often.
Theoin, at the top of round three, continues to just bitch, complain, stab, and wail. Go down! And hits, finally, at his... screaming, frenzied humanoid, and just this thing is foaming, screaming.
You attacked with his clan dagger.
quickened. Frank went on with the clan dagger, missed. This thing chopped him up three times. Theoin got hit with the scythe and reveled in the glory and came at him faster. And Theoin just holds out the flat, wide dagger, puts his palm behind it, and just lurches forward and guts him. And the creature goes down. And the band known as Finger Levin won't be playing tonight in Isengard. And just for a quick tech check, we are going to take the smallest, quickest of breaks. And we are back in time for the battle to be over. So I'm getting rid of the silly battle screen. So, ladies and gentlemen, apologies for any technical. We will rerun the show after the set is over, so you get another chance at a pure stream. Gentlemen, your foes have fallen before you. What do you do?
What we do after every battle. Let's have a toast.
Here's to us and not to them.
Thoroughly search the corpses.
Searching. Celebration. Ole, 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 ole. I was like, you guys do this after every fight? Every fight?
Yep.
Yeah. What do you think the wagon's for?
So, anyone care to take a stab at what these creatures actually are? Know a little bit about something?
I already figured out what the frog dudes were, but the other guys?
The Bogarts?
Yeah, sure, why not?
The Bogarts?
Bogart, yeah.
Bogart? Name Humphrey?
Knowledge Society, you say. Okay.
I believe so.
What do I know? What do I know?
What does anybody know? Come on. Not just
six.
You.
All society. Oh, okay.
Are you guys going to do the old eight another thing that we're, you know, come on. No?
I'll try to contribute. What do I got here?
Five.
Hold on.
Yeah. I think it's a lizard.
I concur.
You concur, I see.
It's green. I see your lizard and I raise you a bullywog. You know, what?
I'll do a detect magic ping.
All right.
And exclude anything I already know about.
Okay. You do sense the presence of magic.
Ooh.
Which means the room is worth a big, fat, 20-minute thorough search, but I don't think it'll allow you to just home and pinpoint, you know, necessarily, and both willy. Neither willy nor nilly.
If we are going to search, then I will do a medicine on Teal.
Okay.
Medicine check.
All right.
Since I can see that he is bloodied.
Yeah, yeah.
And a 25.
All right.
Nice.
And what is...
I'm reading. So the DC of 20. As usual, 15, though the GM might reroll something else. If it is a success, 2d8. If it's a critical success, 4d8. Your choice, sir. Is it higher than 15?
The damage?
No, the DC for me to heal him for my medicine check.
Oh, well, the DC starts at 15. You...
Yep. Though the DM might adjust it based on circumstances. That's why I'm asking.
No, the sickle wielded by hand by a warrior that's upright, making slashing cuts like a warrior kind of thing, is a standard type of wound that you're used to. You know what I mean?
Okay.
When you get into nasty beasts that rip and claw and pull legs off and beat you with them, it's like, oh, this is some medicine I haven't, you know, I might have to DC that or adding some poisons or whatever. But no, I'd say this is your standard, you know, I've scraped a nail, I've broken a toe, I've, you know, got slashed a little bit by a screaming rainbow butt monkey with a sickle. It's all standard, you know. So.
Okay. So 48.
All right. Let's have it.
25.
Oh, I only had 16 wounds.
You healed the wound he had with his father about the fight they had 100 years ago.
I feel better about myself and everyone around me. Come on, group hug. Get off me, accent. He just, you know, he goes like this, like he's going to hug you guys. And he just like bends over and grabs his ass. And like, what are you looking at? Yeah.
A cricket from nowhere.
Right. Even though it's my standard procedure to lick every wall because I'm Frank Hamilton, I'm just going to, you know, go to this door and guard it. I'll be back. Yeah, that kind of thing. Off he goes.
Maybe he can craft something for it.
We're waiting. I'll guard your back. There's a lot of doors opening behind us and, you know.
Set him to work clearing out the rubble in front of the door at the north side end of the room.
Yeah.
Okay. Make him, like, do the next encounter by himself?
No, no.
Just clear the rubble.
Clear. Don't open the door.
Okay.
But it's going to take some time.
All right.
Yeah. I would imagine.
Okay. Well, I need the 10 minutes and such of healing and, you know, that kind of love. So you guys are searching the room. Search. All right. 10 minutes of healing. The second.
Licking every wall.
Yep.
As a, just
even
a lot
the
of
dormitory couch.
Yeah, we have a procedure. I lick everything at 2 feet and lower. Then Albrecht's from like 2 feet and up, 4.
You're gonna get stone licking that college couch. I'm telling you, just starts eating the fabric stuffing. You gotta try this.
Oh. Well, just wait till we get to the toad.
just smoke the stuffing. Oh no! You guys just start licking the bullywog. Niles is like, oh, didn't train you for that, did they, Niles?
Nope.
Are you licking a bullywog? I'm not licking a bullywog.
I'm not licking a boogart. You know? Oh, bring them along. That's a good one. Someone remind me to tell Frank that you guys made him lick the toad and he's all seriously messed up because, you know, said toad was 6 feet tall. So anyway, moving away from the hallway / antechamber college dorm jokes and back into what's going on. Loot. What's really going on here. So these weapons are simple, primal, but they're not broken. I mean, technically, these strange creatures, not sure what they are, have hide armor and a sickle and a whip. And just to show you once again, it really looks like a man baboon, you know, but bamboo man on the top head of the, you know, it's got hands for feet.
Manboo. I'll take his whip.
Okay. Two creatures, two whips. Two sickles. The hide armor, you know, reeks of their animal self, as it were.
And hey, Albrecht, do we need any fire starter?
Yeah. And we've got the...
Always.
Hey, all right. I ripped the hide jerkin off him.
The Bogart has a club and a javelin that I don't think I had a chance to throw and break off in a doorway.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just some very basic... studded leather armor, you know. And funny thing is, the hide of this armor looks familiar. not akin to, I'm not saying it is the exact creature, but it does have that sort of texture, that scale overture of the, you know, the shoulder leather of a certain turtle we once ate.
Cool.
Or similar family.
Can I do a crack in the check day on it?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Got 13.
A reptilian creature was used to make this hide armor instead of something that was furry or would just give regular horse leather or that kind of thing. Hide armor is hide armor, but it also depends on the creature. And they just kind of went for the alligator boots, but it's across the chest, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But again, what creature and from where? All you can determine with 13 is not here. Certainly not here. This is imported. Very expensive taste, imported armor. And yet, you know, they don't buy shoes or boots. Very strange creatures.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. Oi, says, says Frank, who's like set to digging in the debris. Right? Like, I found something. He holds up, you know, this looks like the other poisons. Holding up a vial, tosses it to our sorcerer, I would guess. Is this what you'd be thinking was magic? He licks it. Doesn't taste like toad. Can I have
Oi, let's see what this is then.
Magical time.
Knowing the track record, we're probably going to believe it's poison.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, baby.
Straight up poison.
9.
It's yeah. All poison.
Straight up poison. I have no idea.
I'm not sure what this is. Niles, how about you have a look? Toss it over.
I will. We're having video difficulties.
On both ends?
On DM's chat.
Okay.
Or DM's cut. All right. We're frozen, but we're still streaming, if that makes any sense. Okay, yep. Sure. I will try to... what should I be rolling?
Good.
Thank you.
We really should try to roll well.
Right. Roll well. Let's see what we get here. 7.
It's a lucky number in some cultures.
It is liquid. Mm. Maybe we drink it.
Hmm.
Like everything else.
Yeah. It's got a light bulk for L. You know, it's interact chevron or like one action to like, you know, draw it back, you know. I'll tell you this though. It smells like you do the little, you know, test or whatever. And it tastes bitter. It's not your standard, you know, this isn't the pink amber yum. That's for sure.
It's not for healing.
Yeah. For something. Bitters. Oh, it's bitter.
Tastes like burning.
Yeah. But that's all you get. It shouldn't even be that kind with a 7. Shouldn't even be that kind with a whopping 7.
If anything, we are consistent, though.
Yes. Something to add to the party treasure to hear it later.
Yep.
That's become quite the hoard. It's glows, it's special, but it's a lot of poison. A lot of poison.
So somebody is definitely like jangling as they walk along. So
throw that into the party sec. We'll take a look before we bid Dane for the night.
Hmm. Well, 4 doors, one to the north that Theoin's digging at, one straight through the one we came, and one to the south. Where do we want to go?
I got to go fill in about this one here. Feels like a good door.
This one where?
The one that's in front of me, to the east.
To the audio podcasting audience, the east door?
Yay.
It's over, okay.
The other door.
The other door.
All right.
Not the other door.
And you wish to open the door?
I do.
Corvin, stealth.
Yeah, roundhouse kick. Bam!
Seriously?
Corvin stealth.
Okay. He womps.
That's the one I was tossing coming.
Yeah, he womps the door, but it's so heavy it just sort of slowly creaks open on its own hinge. And you see another door.
Da, da, da. Retreat! Okay.
Run away.
Oh, another door. I got experience with these. Well, bam!
All right. You enter.
I kick.
Sorry. You kick in a flying in a flying fashion.
Well, bam.
A room, if that you trace the outside, is shaped like the letter P. You are on the west wall. Now, gentlemen, keep the crayons to yourselves. Looking to your right, Miros, entering the room, if I may. Yeah, peeking in.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. 10 feet to a door on the south. Down that end, the room narrows rapidly to only 10 foot wide. So like a little 10 by 10 cubby with a little couch chair. You're stepping into sort of part of the room where the room sort of opens up into a giant wedge, the sort of head of the P shape. Immediately on your left is a green couch or some sort of sitting across from you on an angled wall, which leads along an angle, about 45 degree angle upwards, but to an actual east door, which is another exit, another couch. If you 45 degree angle just kind of turn, there is no top wall because it angles down off your west wall. The north wall comes down on a fairly steep angle, has a door and a smaller chair in it. The big oval mauve looking carpet in the center. There are pieces of furniture that are still intact here, although hanging from the ceiling's rafters in the center of the room, there is a strange structure made from rippled and knotted curtains. And I believe that looks like a chandelier. A ring of wood with candles and chains have sort of fallen smashed upon the giant 20 by 20 oval purple mauvish rug.
Ooh. Fancy. Yeah. I walk in. There's nothing that seems immediately offensive to me, is there? Other than the mauve. Oh, it's a fun word to say every now and then.
Oh, yes. With a slight warning of you quite literally smacking open two doors in succession.
Okay.
Okay. One at the far door at the head of the P, one leaning up against the wall, drawing a flamed, knotted piece of rope, drawing the smoke into its mouth, and one directly in front of you, almost blending in what you thought was a shawl or something hanging over the couch, are three more Finger 11 members. The rainbow butt monkeys do the proverbial and see you come, look, you know, peeking in the room. Now, I'll even be so kind as to say that you are in the tiny little cubby, open the door and kind of poked your head in if you don't wish to be literally standing in the room. And I'm going to, of course, cue battle music because you look at them, they look at you, and their brows furrow and hands instinctively go to their weapons. And
I was worried for a second there. I thought you were going to say our hearts start beating, palms get sweaty. Yeah. You never know when it's going to hit you. You never know.
So, you enter the chamber, you open the other door, you look at them, they look at you, and leaping into action, the one at the top, sort of on your left, you know, door, let's say, I'll be kind and say the door opens downward to clear the couch. You can clear a shot at this guy. And this creature just immediately throws his head back into a whale. And these guys, unlike the last set, who just like reacted to you guys coming in, you attacked them and they got up and got chopped down and kind of rallied a bit at the end. These guys seem incredibly offended that you just sort of interrupt their hemp peace talks. And this first creature just shoulder pushes himself off a wall, you know, leans over and looks at you and just starts shaking, like shimmering, tosses his shoulders about, and by the time he starts taking lopping steps the long way around the couch to you, has thrown himself into quite a frenzy, moves around the couch, draws a sickle, and although that's three, the frenzy quickens him and he actually just comes at you with the sickle, ignoring what's behind him, ignoring what they could possibly do. He just seems to want to be the first on you and is the quickest to act.
Can't blame him.
Okay. But he doesn't just chop at you with the sickle. He actually comes over, does this big, you know, wrist
presentation?
Wrist banging presentation, get a sickle out, and then all of a sudden he just transfers it, you know, to the hand foot and goes for an ankle, sweep the leg, and does the old trip maneuver. Because with my sickle, I'm an agile finesse trip weapon. And we're going to talk to Joe about tripping things.
Oh man.
Oh, yeah. Next up, the other, or I should say next in line, you know, guy at the door, baboon dude, comes and moves into position and pulls his whip and gets ready. Next up is Theoan. Almost there, as he's digging. The warg pup stay sadly, deadly silent, bringing us finally to Muros. Niles, you're on deck. Muros, what do you want to do?
Flurry of beatings. Good roll. Click. I think I've targeted him.
Aye.
He has been targeted. And Baton 1-1. Stone to the face. 17. Miss. Other stone to the side of the face. 24. That's a hit. Deal some damage. 7 points.
To the guy in front of you.
Yes. For my second attack. It's an attack. I tried to kick him in the giblies. 7. I don't do it. Third attack. It was a feint. I'm trying to punch him in the face again. Ah! 16. Miss.
And?
Usually, I'm not sorry.
Say you're sorry. No. Is that all you got? Okay.
Whatever you want, I can get. Do I feel inspired?
He reaches low to trip you, and whether or not he's successful will be the fact that we're talking about, these prone attacks, because you might very well have to get up.
I'm fine. Mm. Don't worry about that.
So, rules lawyer Joe Gibson.
Yes. All right. You try to knock an opponent to the ground. Attempt an athletics check against the target's reflex DC.
Okay. So. The target's personal DC.
Target's reflex DC.
Oh, reflex DC. Okay, so what's your reflex there, Neros?
Extremely high and impressive. My reflex DC?
Yeah, so it would be basically take a base 10 and add your reflex bonus.
12.
Okay. With a 10, I try to swipe at you, and you punish him with your flurry of so many blows for it. Second humanoid that I'd already moved and acted had not attacked Theo, and so we are on par, caught up in time, and now it is Niall's turn with the last humanoid up next, and then Elbrick.
Okay.
But you know what?
What?
There is something. Okay. I barely even gave Miros a perception.
Okay.
So I'll keep him in line. And Niall's, you guys are kind of forced to sort of wait it out, so we could have used, like Elbrick could have used, you know, his last skill check, you know what I mean? To like reorganize the rerolls for initiative, what was the last thing you were doing kind of thing. But this time of round, I'll just leave it statically because you guys are literally bottle capped and funneling through the, you know, is there combat? You don't even know. And then you're like, you're standing behind him and, you know. So we'll say for point of fate, this kind of works out. So Niles, what do you want to do?
I will cast. I'm just reading. I will cast Divine Lance. So I unleash a beam of divine energy. Choose an alignment. Mine.
Which is?
Good.
Good what? Good on Sundays? Good.
Basically, you can choose chaotic, evil, good, or lawful. Plus, mine is cool. That's what I'm choosing. I make a ranged spell attack. I just have to look at mine. to target. Let's see if I can target him. Small humanoid. I'm getting there. Ooh, computer just went with it. It rolled into a 17. I don't know if I hit or not.
17?
Do I hit?
A 17, yes. Against Shaka Khan? No.
No? Okay.
Shaka Khan.
Fair enough. And I will...
I'm making fun of the creature's actual
name.
Use my
last action, and I will actually pull out my weapon that I never used.
Okay.
Which
now,
is my rapier.
All of your attacks are at -1 because you're attacking through a friendly.
No, okay.
So how are you going, like, without being adjacent, how can you use your rapier through Miros to get to this thing?
I'm just pulling it out when...
Oh, sorry. I thought you were like, oh, okay, sorry. Sorry. I just like...
He's going to fall. He's getting gangbanged. So he's got nowhere to go.
Just to prop him up, right, with the rapier.
Yeah.
Stay up there, puppet. Take all
the shield.
Yeah, exactly. This does not bode well for Niles. All right.
I am dead.
Okay. So, smaller humanoid. Number 6. Now, I said 6 foot tall and had them lumbering, but technically these creatures are small. They are not huge. So, I'm guessing they're
large in ego.
Yeah. Doesn't really talk about height and weight. So if they're classified as a small creature, I'm guessing that these things, you know, are the, you know, the 4 foot bent over kind of deal, but still very, very nasty. The last guy throwing himself into a rage and disappears, goes 5, 10, 15, opens a door.
He had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So bad.
20, 25, 30, 35.
All right.
Yeah, he just buggers off. Elbrick. Hey, we know the layout of this place. Take the long way around to the dorm.
Cousin, save some for us. Pull back. Standard formation, more defensive. Don't be a bleeding idiot.
And I will.
Do you speak Dwarven, Niles? Because I'm assuming if I hear a Scottish accent, it's all like blup, 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 blup. It's just smiling, nodding. One day they'll speak English to me.
Smile and nod.
No, in the company of our companion, I would speak in common. I'm not an asshat.
Well, sorry. There was the Dahlgren rule where, like, you guys were just, like, constantly speaking in Dwarven, but people could understand. It was like, oh, we're so clever. You know, the whole
part. Well, that's when the paranoid one was with us.
Yeah. Oh, he's feeling much better now.
Don't tell it. Oh, but that reminds me. All these creatures from far off lands. That might have something to do with the portal. Mental note. Write that down in my brain.
Yeah, the portal the crazy paranoid dwarf told you about from legend and lore. Just saying. Shelf it, but don't top shelf that. So you can have confirmation. So what do you want to do there, Al? You've shifted behind. He falls. I love how he gives him shit, then falls in behind two other body shields. That's good. I like that.
Sure do. And I'm going to send a magic missile through the door over my cousin and my companion Zed.
Okay. Send it -2 because it's a body shield each. Body shield for you.
No, it automatically hits its magic missile.
It's the new missile. Still hits? Auto?
Just hits. Nah. Okay. Like, I don't roll to hit. It just hits.
I just want to make sure that's in the description, dude, because, like, we really can't make assumptions in the new. Okay.
Do better do. You send a dart of force streaking towards a creature that you can see. It automatically hits and deals 1d4 plus 1 force damage. For each additional action you use when casting the spell, increase the number of missiles you shoot by 1 to a maximum of 3 missiles for 3 actions. You choose the target for each missile individually. If you shoot more than one missile at the same target, combine the damage before applying bonuses or penalties to damage, resistance, weaknesses, and so forth.
Apologies to the magic man with magic hands. You've moved once. Do you want to shoot twice?
I do indeed.
Okay. Let's have it. I gave you your target. And
there it is. 1 and 2. Pew, pew. For a total of 5 damage.
Nice one.
Ouch.
Check that one off my list. Check.
Right.
Been magic missiled. And that is the end of my turn.
Okay. Bringing up the end of the round, magically turning whatever round one was in time to round two. Shakaka number 3, because I'm really getting tired of calling these things small humanoids, and you just guys don't have the manners to introduce yourselves, you know. I mean, maybe that screaming, foaming monkey thing and waving around and asking you to sit down, but making you sit down is some kind of greeting. You don't know.
Oh, I was polite. I introduced them to my fist.
With the trip maneuver not working and capitalizing on my special shrieking frenzy primal transmutation triggered ability, which I've actually used, and it can be used not every round.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's more of an every hour kind of things. Lots of show and bouncing about just to, like, yeah, you know what, we'll just hit you with a sickle 3 times. So he starts slashing away at anvil and misses the anvil, so he tries it, Mr. Bender, and hits the bender part of anvil. And one last slash.
It's called bent for a reason.
One last slash, also a miss. And
okay, so just are all of his attacks at +8? Because I think you're forgetting to hit the reduced attack things again.
I am. I've got a single attack button in front of me, and I just keep spamming it.
That's why I stay with that club that hit me on the second hit. I'm like +10 twice, eh?
Well, on our pages, we have like the max second attack and third attack button we can hit.
Yeah, I actually don't have that. It's a bad habit. I've been playing with Frank's character, and he's got the 3, and then I just switched to these. And yes, who knows? Maybe I was doing that with Frank and just kept hitting the first button of the axe. Maybe I should take back all those victories as well as defeats. So,
no, yeah, he survived. He survived.
It's fine. It's fine. Yeah. Yes.
If he died, we'd be like, yeah, you'd better retcon that.
Does a 19 hit you, Miros?
Mm-mm.
What is your armor class?
21.
Okay.
Wait, no.
Right, so...
Yes, 21.
Right, so the 4 points you just suffered are a big no-no, and I will set you back down to the light wound, as it were.
And just matrix that.
Yep. Carry on. Apologies.
Sorry. The chest hair reaches out and redirects the blows.
Yep. Yeah, it's like venom.
Humanoid number two comes down. Two, three.
And, you know, just... Orders McDonald's.
Yep.
Calls for an Uber.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here.
Yeah, pretty much. Again, just goes right. Where else did you see him go running by? You know, is he climbing a wall? Where'd he go?
They're terrified of me. They're running.
Theo, and I'm so glad you had me dig to where I thought we were going instead of guarding the freaking door. It's like the GM was throwing you a bone to guard the back door in case something came around, but too bad's on you. Neros, you're up.
Okay. Flurry of beatings.
Okay. How about it?
I cannot help myself with them. First beating. 22. A hit. Second flurry. 21. Holy also crap. A hit.
Hmm.
10 points of damage. And then 12 points of damage.
Holy crap.
Well, yeah, we really you hardly knew him, so I doubt you're going to miss him.
I was introducing him to my other fist, and then I thought, oh, don't forget, I got to introduce you to my right foot as well, too.
Down he goes. Now, I was just, oh, he's dead, and he falls over. Eh. But you guys got to remember that these creatures do have names and can take on the dying condition. And if they can rouse, you know, we might actually see miniatures popping up not only behind us, but all around us. So, with that in mind, man, he says, just saying, you know, with that in mind, if you guys want to, you know, have me keep the bodies on the board, or you're just going to worry about it.
Wait, that sounds like a future me problem.
Mm. Righto. Down he goes. Eyes roll back in his head. Who knows if he will survive. Right.
Well, that was my first action.
Mm-hmm.
So now I want to kind of poke my head in. Hey,
where'd everybody go?
Where are your bellends headed off to?
You see an open door. Closed? Yeah, the door that was closed when you first peek to the south is actually open now, but you don't see anybody.
5, 10, 15, 20.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey.
Goes chasing Monkey after. Goes chasing after.
10, 15. Where do you think you're going? We're not done this. You started it. I'm going to finish this.
Niles, you're up.
I guess I'll go chase after the monk.
Just decided to. Everybody just stepping on the baboon that's dying. Out.
Like, I'm not done yet.
Oh, attack of opera. Okay. Just move him. Okay. Come up behind, rapier in hand.
Yep.
And
that's it.
Okay.
I'm here for support.
Take it, one of your actions, just pat me back. You're doing good.
Yeah.
So not the one you guys just rolled up on, but the one that Miros can see further down, you know, is sort of, you know, committed. And despite the guy screaming behind him, even though I might suddenly realize that they've come up behind, I still think he's committed to this course of like, see ya, you know, so he's like, what, 10, 15, 20. Damn angles, by the way, count as doubles on the second, so that's like, that burns a whole bunch of my movement, 30, anyway, 40, and Elbrick.
Somebody's knocking at the door.
Because we are polite. This is not our pad. This is, you know, our reverse pad. But anyway, he comes down around, and then, you know, the door pops open, but doesn't fly open, leaving me completely exposed. It's, you know, it kind of half opens, and he's peeking in, but using the door for cover, but he also wants to see what's going on. So the door pops open, and Monkey Head pops in, thinking I'm clever, okay, using it like a, you know, like a door shield, like a tower shield. Albrecht.
No. A helmet pops out with a monkey hand holding it.
Yeah, like the sickle, you know, just like a snake head. He's just kind of like, you know.
So,
Albrecht, we got.
I move forward to the doorway.
Yeah.
Or rush the door. Do-do-do. And I cast Burning Hands.
He just sees a hand pop around the corner.
Oh, no.
Oh, did I click the wrong one?
What did he?
Sure
that's
did.
Missile.
Oops. Erase that damage, please, sir. Sorry about that.
That was in a parallel universe that happened?
Let's try this one. Boom. 5 damage. Get back from where you came.
Ow.
Something satisfying about filling up a tunnel with fire.
Around a door, like. Just kind of like, hello. And he just like grabs him by the furry cheeks and casts a spell. Ah. All right.
What's that cooking?
I'm telling you, the hallway smells like chicken from.
Simpson!
Hallway still smells like burnt chicken, Cajun chicken from Corey and the auxiliary cast. I'm telling you. All right, you guys, stop passing the flask. Let's get to some serious. That's code for stop banging your mic. Humanoid number, you know, this guy turns around and immediately attacks Miros because I'm pretty sure it's a Tuesday here in a dungeon, and why not? It's Turkey Tuesday. So, a first attack at +8. Wait for it. I'll have -4 with my and attacks a second time. Now, I hit him the first time. I missed him the second time. And the last one. Last attack, a natural 1. A critical miss.
And is that name guy?
I have a name, you know. Oh, God.
Pull that card, Jeff.
One second. Just double check. Because they named all the other guys, right? They're like, blah, blah, blah. This. And it's like, are these guys just more? Now, why would they name 2 dudes in the other room and not these 3 dudes? Is this like Lackey 1-2? That's strange.
The other guys were bosses. These are peons.
Yeah. I mean, Venek and Scorp, you know, went down pretty quick. What's your name? Small humanoid number 3. Well, that's fine. To apologize for my screwed up dice rolls, and since I kept claiming everybody's named in this freaking dungeon, I'm going to draw that card. Melee weapon slashing.
We'll call him Milfred, the monkey.
Is that a magnifying glass?
It is. It is. What of it? Well, it's actually not the magnifying glass for the fine print. It's the lack of lighting at this angle. Like, I've got no light here. So I'm like, okay, I'll put it in the light to see what the card says. I'd have to lean way out. So it's like, you know what? I'm just going to hold it low.
You know, you're getting older when your arm's not long enough to read the text.
Overextended is the name of this. I'm not kidding.
Oh my God, the irony.
Melee, overextended. You trigger reactions if you had just used a move action. An old friend belittles you for it. So I just use a move action. Where's the owner when you need him? Do you have any kind of reactions to my moves there, Mr. Monk?
You're hoping.
I mean, if he suddenly, you know, pops and walks with a sickle, what are you going to do? Are you going to send it back to me?
I'll entertain.
Okay. It becomes a dance-off, but no, seriously, have you got anything that can react to a move action in your face?
A jest? You're all left feet. You dance horrible.
All right.
But you smell pretty.
You smell pretty.
Theoan, around a corner, the top of the off room, you know, is just head deep, dwarf butt in the air, you know, you get the plumber crack going there, and he's just digging away with his shovel. All right, almost there. Yeah. Miros, you're up. Niles, you're on deck.
Okay. We got a little target here. And rain blows from above on this wee man. This wee monkey man.
Okay.
20 hit. Second. 22. Also a hit.
Oh, you know what?
Damage.
One second there. I did actually manage my first hit legitimately with my +8 on Miros. I do owe you some damage before we got into the terribles.
Yeah.
So before I forget there, Mr. Miros.
Rodan Bones.
Thank you. Most kind. He did manage to slash at you for a whopping 5 points of damage, slicing up with his overreach before. Yeah.
It stinks. All right, you're dead.
You were saying?
9 points for the first hit. 6 points for the second hit.
Okay.
And,
oh, critical. Critically wounded. Not critical hit, but I am critically wounded.
Oh, okay. Get me all excited and the tingles.
No, it says right there, status critical. You know you're doing well.
But you said it out loud and I heard it. And my ears tingled.
Sorry.
Anyways. I try to kick his head off, clean off his shoulders, that is. 14. Hey, it's a field. You know what? He tried to trip me. I'm tripping the little fucker's back. I trip him.
How many attacks have you got?
I have 3. Well, I get a flurry of beatings. That's 2. Well, that's 1 that does 2.
Gotcha.
I got my normal attack, which is at a +4. And then I still have my third action, which I want to put him on those fat monkey ass.
Okay. Now, your first attacks came at +4. This technical second attack, should it be at +4?
My first attacks come at +8. So I get 2 8s, a 4, and a 0.
Oh, then you're jipping yourself, because your first two attacks are only coming at +4.
That was his damage. +4 was, that was his damage rolls.
12 plus 8, 20, hit. 14 plus 8, 22.
Okay, yeah. I'm reading the wrong dice. My bad, gotcha. Okay. No, I just don't want you to rip yourself off if you're supposed to have bigger bonuses. I gotcha. Okay, sorry. I'm caught up to you now. Right. Carry on, sorry. Flurry away. Sure.
Flurry of blows and then sweep the legs. So make an athletics.
I'll athletics check against the DC 18.
19.
Very nice. And now I'm
I'm
prone. Oh boy, brand new conditions for me to paste onto my guy. All right. So down he goes. And at the very end of your turn, you managed to knock him prone. Condition on. Game on, condition on. Miros. Yeah, good job. Are you are you done, Miros?
That's me.
You go for the humiliation. You can't just kill me like a furry man that I am.
No. And then when I sweep the legs, if he did it for his thing, he did his little breakdance. I do a little breakdance, but I trip him in the thing. And that's how you break them stones.
Oh, nice. I'm so glad I don't speak Dwarven and have to suffer your witty repartee like the rest of us. Niles, you are up, sir.
I will use my divine lights on the prune. Baboon thing, whatever.
Okay.
I'll say this. No. I am done.
What did you try to do?
I missed with a 7. Divine Lamps.
Oh, okay.
So, yes.
You should have a modifier on that.
Yeah, -1 because of the body
it's
shield.
My ranged attack. I do not have
dexterity.
Dex. So.
It's a spell, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't you have a proficiency in the spell attack?
Touch attacks based off your strength?
You have a spell casting modifier that should be tacked onto that. It probably is still going to miss, but you do have you should have a modifier. Like, when you cast the spell, are you casting it from the spell itself? Like, click the little magnifying glass?
Yeah, try to sometimes.
What's yours? How do we calculate this? Is it like your level?
Where's my spell casting level?
Now, with a 7, even if he had like a +3, he's obviously still going to hit. So, you know, like, we'll move on. So, I'm going to look after the humanoid while you and Al talk magic. And I'm actually going to attack Al with my... I was going to say non-magical monkey, but that just doesn't sound like that's going to come out right. So I'm going to...
Oh, my.
Sometimes I just give them to you for free. So
you can keep your non-magical monkey.
Yes, so I get to add my wisdom model to my spell attack rolls.
Yes.
Is that not calculated? So that would be 11.
Okay. Well, we know for next time.
Yeah.
When you were missing with your spells, they were like 7s and horrible, so I don't think you owe any damage. So we're, you know, let's go. But I do have a question. So we're using a door for cover. It's half open between us. We both get said cover. He reached around, like, you know, point blank and went, here's my spell, right? But I'm going to try and physically attack him through the door. So I'm wondering if Albrecht still gains maybe a concealed? If not, like, I don't really see any kind of cover condition here.
Soft cover?
Yeah.
Plus 2?
He would be... Oh, geez, I don't know if it's concealed. Would he be classified as concealed? Which is the same as, like, thick fog...
No.
Well, if you think back to The Shining.
I can't see him through the leaves because it is hard cover. Like, it is a door. I mean, I give him at least a +1 as if there were a something in the way. Now, also, if he can reach around and blast me, I should be able to reach around and attack at him. But really, swinging with sort of, you know, the door between us, I'm willing to give good old Al some kind of shield bonus, at least a +1. So I'm going to have a -1 to my attack here for openers, and we'll go from there unless you can actually make that bonus larger and shield him from the non-magical monkey as I slash you with my sickle once horribly, and still, instead of the second attack being -8, I'll go -9, slashing twice horribly, and the last attack just wailing away, Just saying. Sometimes, even if there's very little chance of hitting, you just attack for spite. Because we can. So, toting a -9 at the end, but still have a decent, like, +8 to attack. A critical miss. And that's what I get. But any creature that can throw itself into a frenzy, I don't think is gonna, you know, just kind of an errant type of thing. Like, low level, not quite cunning. You know, just saying. The small tactical thinking, you know, close their books, stop their taxes, and really think out the battles, we'll save for later. Critical miss. Pull on the card. Melee. Pulled muscle. Until healed, I am enfeebled 2.
Ooh.
Sound very good, does it? That doesn't sound very good at all. Not to mention it's a brand new day. It's a brand new condition. What do we know about enfeebled, gentlemen?
Well, I was just looking up cover for you. Basically, for your cover, being behind cover grants you a +2 bonus to AC. Pretty much.
Okay. Well, luckily, with my horrible rolls, the extra one, as it were, is we're going to have the same results. Enfeebled. I'm enfeebled, too. Enfeebled, too, sure. Until heal. I should come back and go back to Niles and see if I can't get some luck.
Enfeebled. You're physically weakened. Your OAs includes a value. When you're enfeebled, you take a status penalty equal to the condition value based on strength-based rolls and DCs. So that includes melee attacks and damage rolls and athletic checks.
Okay. And the penalty is what?
Whatever the number is.
Okay, 2. Okay. Good to know. A little message for you there, Joe. Okay. Bringing us to Albrecht. Your retaliation. Those are my arguments. You have the floor. I pass you the talking stick. The talking door. Here, hold this. You can go now.
Well, then. What can I do to him?
Set him on fire.
Just so everyone knows, Joe's go-to character is usually a caster. So he's taking one for the team by playing a cleric because he really knows the team needs one. But, you know, his default setting is definitely a necromancer or worse. So that's why he's got the, I really want to burn or watch somebody cast the spell now. Yes, again. fun facts about our cast. So speaking of cast and casting, Al, what do you got? Okay, now he's like leaning on the door while you decide.
I'm going to withdraw.
Ooh.
Oh. Okay.
Back a few squares.
And the withdraw action. Not that I have the reaction attack, but kind of foils that, right?
And I am going to hold my remaining action for when this stupid head comes through the door, and I'm going to, you know, shoot him with a ray of frost.
Okay. Oh, I pulled a muscle. You know, you saw the card. It might be a while. You just might see the hand kind of drift down the door frame a bit. And not to meta, but he did kind of pull a muscle. All right, holding your action. Into next round. So with Albrecht holding his action and beginning of round 4, to get, you know, to get on with it, to get dirty, to get down. We've got one Shakara bolting out of the P-shaped room, ran down through a narrow hallway by Miros, turned around, is now fighting Miros the monk and the cleric who's behind him, offering what support he can. The lead of these creatures managing to whip into the main huge hallway and back up one of the finger hallways that you guys technically have not traversed to a shut door. Opens it, gets flame hands to the face, pulls a muscle, and Albrecht waits patiently. And we will see you next time on the Age of Ashes Live podcast. Say goodnight now.
Good night, everybody.